estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 488. I'm Adam, and the microprocessor became redundant in the year 2019. And here's Kirby Barton Sloan.
Special opera. We installed the Vomit-O-Matic at the same time.
Debbie, Mal Rose.
He's your boyfriend.
Oh, sorry. I didn't get the beginning of that one.
Said, he's your boyfriend.
And Mary Lang.
Apparently, you're no one.
Oh. Waiting on Ben Shoveler, so hopefully Ben will turn up for the show. It'll be quite nice. I think Manchester United didn't lose, and they didn't win either. So he
now,
won't be in a...
Adam, if I may make a slight correction, you said it's episode 488, but on the Facebook posting it says 487.
Yeah, you know why it says that? Because I cocked up.
No.
It is 488. Nice. It's just because I was writing it down. I wrote down what was in front of me rather than projecting it to the next doodah. Okay. Now I'm not going to particularly share this particular video onto my own timeline because people will be wondering why I'm looking like this. So I'm going to change filters.
Your lipstick caption is amazing.
Changing filters.
I like that filter.
Even worse, I've got little butterflies floating around me at the moment.
I really like the one of you, your head with the wings over the sea.
Oh, yeah, that was good fun. Yes, for listeners, at the moment on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, where I stream a live video of me in studio recording the show, I'm just playing around with a few Facebook live filters. So just for my own entertainment, if not anybody else's, really. What's this one here? That looks quite interesting. That could be topical. It's like an Aztec hat. How's that?
Right.
Oh no, it doesn't work. Oh, it is. There we go.
Beautiful. You haven't seen it yet. Your mascara action.
Yes, long. Right then, this week we're going to be reviewing. Pardon?
Went back to something weird and ugly. What's that?
How dare you? It's just my normal face.
Oh my God, is that reality? Oh no, change it, change it.
Oh, I like the hat.
I thought it was quite Aztec-y. Anyway, this week we're going to be looking at the long game. Hopefully, it won't be a long show. So let's get going then. Hopefully,
don't say that. Although we were kind of short last week.
That's because I was able to speak. That doesn't happen very often. So the long game begins with some news reports on a screen while the Doctor and Rose arrive.
It's playing so fast.
Sorry?
It's like it's playing like twice speed on my DVD player. What's going on here?
Maybe the DVD player's thinking the same as me. So the Doctor has given Rose a few little tips so as they can wind up Adam as he steps out of the...
That was funny.
Rose seems to be completely, really enjoying giving out these facts that she doesn't really know. Well, Adam just looks very...
No. She knows... enough to go with the flow with it. She
she does, but she doesn't know that the tidbits
the
of information.
Yeah.
Doesn't know the doctorisms that are going into her story. Yeah, he's gone quiet. It's because I'm right.
You're always right.
So anyway, they walk into this room where there's a big window. It's a bit like the Enterprise screen where they can have a view of the
master
the planet Earth below.
It's actually the same room in the Temple of Peace that they used for End of the World.
Is it? Well, there's a surprise. Well, what's this one here? I look like something out of Minecraft. Here we go. Oh, that's good. I look like my face has been what's the word for it? When they blur things out when the children are on TV so you can't see their faces.
Pixelated.
Yeah, that's what I look like at the moment. I'm changing that. Oh, that's silly.
We're
just talking over the title sequence at the moment because this particular story is written by somebody called Russell T. Davies. Oh, that's one. That's a good one. I've got one with a big nose. Hey, well, stick with that one for a bit. I like that. Right then. So they're the Doctor is showing off to Adam while they're walking around this rather busy sort of space station thingy, and they having fast food, and the Doctor realizes he hasn't got any money.
Master?
So he, what?
Master?
What?
The director in the commentary said that he nicked this whole scene directly out of Blade Runner.
Splendid. I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, yeah, so the Doctor uses his sonic screwdriver to steal a load of cash onto a card to give to Adam so he can go around and have a bit of pocket money, as he calls it. But it was more than a bit of pocket money, as we find out later on.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Why are there even cash points at all in that year?
Why wouldn't there be?
Because no one uses cash.
Well, he wasn't using cash. It was just a rather large plastic object.
Yeah, they're not getting cash. They're loading.
No, I know, but it's still
credits. It
doesn't even make sense to even have a cash point, because it should all be like the way that we do it now. I mean, back when this came out, we were still using ATMs. But when's the last time you used an ATM?
Yesterday, Friday.
In the future, you know, maybe you don't want to have your entire bank account loaded onto a. Onto a device, so
that's make it time.
So you can just load a little at a time.
I used one on Saturday when we went to the bank. Well, namely, mainly because Nationwide is closed, so the way you pay money in or having to look, see what your bank balance is, and apart from obviously internet banking, you use it. But if you want to go and you sometimes. Cash is quite useful to have.
I guess I'm more of an online person than the rest of you guys.
I think cash is going to be around for a while yet. I've
got 11 cents in my pocket.
My in-laws wouldn't be able to use anything like that because they haven't got any internet.
The alternative is to have your entire bank account available at all times, and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Most of us have that.
So the Doctor and Rose go off to poke around and meet a few people. They meet Suki and catheter.
You've got to say it the way they say it in True Blood. Suki.
Okay, Suki. And was it Kathaka or something like that, the other
lady? Kathaka, yes.
Yeah, this sounded like catheter.
Yeah, but it's Kathaka, yeah. Kathaka, lovely lady.
And the actress who was also who plays Kathaka was also one of the people on the commentary.
Thank you for that.
And Bruno.
Okay. What did I get up to? Oh, yeah, so the doctor sort of managed to pass himself off as almost like a mystery shopper, especially with they glance at his psychic, or as it's called in these days, slightly psychic paper, is it?
Yes.
I think it was called slightly psychic paper in the beginning. It wasn't called psychic paper, anyway.
Correct.
So they start telling... us, basically, even though it's a doctor, it's basically telling us all about this space station whose name is, I forget, what was it again?
Satellite 5.
Planet 5?
Satellite 5.
First one of the show, everyone. and then we meet a rather famous actor called Simon Pegg, who plays the editor. It's quite a sinister but very, very cleverly acted role. Adam, meanwhile, is just a bit confused. He sort of sits there a little bit overawed by everything while Rose is drinking some sort of fast food drink. And
it's beef, of course, flavored.
Sorry?
It's beef flavored.
Yeah. Ew. Well, it's just like an OXO, isn't it, Deb?
It's Bovril.
Or Bovril, yeah. I'd say OXO.
Sucking out an OXO.
I'm getting fed up with this booming nose. The nose is annoying me now. I'm moving on. Right then, so Rose gives Adam her phone so he can phone home, but of course there's nobody in, so he leaves a message on the answer phone or answer machine. A lot of these filters are Valentine's ones. They're really inappropriate for this show. What's this one here? Oh, Lord.
Right,
I'm turning the filters off. Filters are now off.
It's
just me as I am. Right then. Right, so some stuff coming through. Sorry, I got distracted. Something distracted me. Right, Lillian Robin said, I'm late today. She's talking about... I don't know. And then says, hi, you Holly. And
let's
then get on with it.
You know, late for the show.
And then, ow, my ankle's hurting. And then Neil James says, hi, guys. over halfway through the Eccleston era. Seems like only yesterday when I discovered you wonderful people. Haven't missed one since I started with Castrovalva. Well, you can get treatment for these sort of things, but unfortunately we can't fund it.
Yeah, but what does that say about some of us who've been on over 10 years?
And Brandon Moore has come on and said, what a definite improvement. Are we talking about me? Oh, you're talking about because it's I haven't got the funny big nose anymore. Well, thank you, Brandon. And Terry Miles says, Adam, every time you change a filter, the link goes down. Well, I'm telling you now, I'm not changing it again. So it's not going to go down again. So think yourselves lucky. Right, then go back to Doctor Who. Yeah, so the Rose has given Adam her phone so he can phone home. As I've already said that. But, of course, there's a dog there, a highly trained dog who is getting a bit excited because... what got me about that dog? We don't normally let our dogs out. Obviously, this dog's decided to go out through and in through the cat flap nowadays. And I was talking about this to a member of my family. When I was a kid, they used to let the dog and cat out in the morning. Now, the dogs are not allowed out other than on the lead or in the park or whatever. Mainly because, especially if you're Lady Gaga, they get nicked. Obviously, nobody knows about that. Lady Gaga had her dog stolen and her dog walker got shot for the sake of a dog. Only in America. Right then, where we go. Right then, back to this. So the dogs, yeah, he's come in and they're all being watched, almost like Big Brother. Is that a hint to something coming up? Almost like Big Brother. And the editor's starting to get a bit suspicious that somebody's a spy. Of course, we think, if an initial watching, that he thinks the Doctor and Rose are the spies. So that was quite an interesting twist when that came about. And the tour carries on, and then, of course, they all round this little think tank table with catheter. And I'm going to call a catheter because that's what it sounds like.
No, so don't Kathica.
Keep correcting me. No, it's Kathica, but I'm going to say catheter. Anyway, so she's in, and she clicks her fingers, says spike, and you see her brain and some...
Yes, Tyler didn't really like that.
No, it was a bit slightly creepy, wasn't it?
Robbie, is that her brain? I went, Glenn brain.
Anyway, some plasma goes in.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Bit of CGI.
It is. The plasma goes into her, and she stops absorbing information, or exchanging information, as we find out later on. And, well, obviously still being watched by the editor. And then, of course, what catheter wants is to be promoted to, is it floor 500? Where all the business end of the proceedings are. Nobody's talking to me, I've got to carry on. But then, of course, they want what's her name? Suki. And
Suki.
She gets welcomed up.
Suki.
Suki. Course, much to Catheter's annoyance, because she wanted to get promoted. God knows why, because it's not much fun being promoted in this place.
They don't know that. The walls are made of gold, remember?
Yeah.
I didn't see any golden walls.
No, they've been told that the walls
are... they've been told. A bit like, London was supposed to have streets of gold, wasn't it, in the time of Dick Whittington. Lillian Robbins said, it didn't go down for me when he changed filters. Is that a euphemism for something, Lillian? And then Laurie Nick says, hi, sweeties, wishing you all well, just not been viewing early New Who. Huggies. Well, you should be viewing early New Who. Shouldn't she, everybody?
Yes.
You do what she blooming well likes. Hello, Laurie.
That's not the attitude, Deborah Melrose.
Except for a certain Slitheen, this is an excellent, excellent series.
Anyway, right, so she, Suki goes upstairs. She's really happy. She's selling, being congratulated by everybody with hugs and everything. And of course, Catheter is absolutely appalled by the whole thing.
If she knew what you were calling her.
When Suki arrives in down in floor five.
One of these days you're going to invite her to FantasyCon and you have to apologize.
It's not the actress's name, though, so I'd be calling her by her actual name, not by the daft character name that they decided to use it in this
particular
story.
Yeah, but we would tell her.
I don't care. Anyway, so Suki arrives at floor 400, finds a few corpses and what have you. And the corpses actually look a bit like polystyrene, funny enough. I'll just point that out. And
yeah, the director was saying that they were all the actors were very, very good at being told to just sit there for hours on end looking dead.
And then she arrives in the inner sanctum with the editor, who very quickly tells her that she's a spy, and of course then she does a very good actress bit and completely changes her character, and that was a bit of a surprise. I thought that was very well done, that, because we were expecting, of course, that he'd twig about the Doctor and Rose very, very quickly. But of course what happens is something comes down from the ceiling.
Does this
and
mean
makes
I can no longer say Sookie?
No,
well,
when she's still
gone, you won't be able to.
Adam, meanwhile, is up to no good. He's he's been fiddling around with some equipment, absorbing some information.
He's a wit, Adam.
I'll just move forward a bit, because the Doctor and catheter, and looks like at one point where the Doctor sat in that chair that's like a dentist chair, that also looks like Rose is massaging his shoulders, but I'm actually doing that. No real need for her to be right behind him like that. So Adam calls home and tries to sort of feed some digital buzzy information into the the voice recorder thingy, so as he can translate it later and then alter the course of history. Any sign of Ben?
No.
Right. So meanwhile he goes to see the woman out of Friday Night Dinner.
I love her.
And basically arranges a little operation for himself with his unlimited credit. So he has a little door put in his head, as you do.
Well, I like the fact that she said, well, you should have this already. Why have you not got I'm a student? Ah.
yeah.
University of Mars.
Yeah, it would be. Yes.
All right. Lee Anthony Davis says, hello from Lee Anthony Davis. Hello, Lee. Robert Vince Jr. says, Davis. Hi, hello, all. Lee. Off to get chicken fingers for lunch. We'll listen in car.
Oh, yes, nice. Right.
Mind the squirrels, or as they say in America, squirrels. Lillian Robin says, I like Rose's jacket. I need to find if I buy it somewhere. Yes.
I read that they deliberately changed Rose's costume, dressing her in brighter colors and tighter fitting clothes, so she starts to look more like a superhero. That was the intent.
I thought she was trying to look even more like a sort of chav, maybe with a chav with a bit of money. I don't know. I did have a Rose figure once upon a time. I don't know if she's wearing this costume and the figure I had. Stuff in
the
box.
The Rose figure I've got has got her in her first outfit. It's
That's the only outfit I've seen figures ever dressed in.
Sookie, well, she's dead apparently, and she's been sort of turned into some sort of.
She's all frosty.
Apparently not dead enough.
No, some sort of zombie that's helping to operate the editorial system. The Doctor, meanwhile, starts messing around with the inner workings of the system. This then eventually gets spotted by the editor, and while Adam sort of throws up this lump of frozen puke in his recovery room.
Ice cube.
the double take by the nurse is good.
Yeah. Is he going to be sick, Mummy? Is he going to be sick? Yeah, wait a sec, Kyla. It's really funny. I don't want to watch him be sick. No, Kyla, it'll be funny. Don't worry. Oh, that's an ice cube.
Bruno was saying in the commentary that it was actually quite tasty.
Nice to think of that. Anyway, so he's now...
I haven't just had my dinner. No, I'm not feeling sick at all.
He's got his door, and the Doctor and Rose go up to visit to make the acquaintance of the editor and the creepy monster in the ceiling.
We still haven't seen yet.
Yes, we have. We just see him in this scene. It's a bit sort of
right,
like
in
a...
Right, in this scene. But we are... Well,
reminds me of an obese alien. The alien from Alien, but an obese version. Meanwhile, Adam, that's right, because catheter is still really annoyed, so she starts plotting behind the scenes, and she actually follows them up to the or down, sorry, to a floor 500. She sort of
up.
I think she, what's the word for it? She taps into the system and sort of she hacks
floor
in.
Floor 500 is above floor 167.
Well, she went down. The Suki, she went down to it. So I don't know what you're going on about.
What?
Huh? Adam went down, but Suki went up.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I'll let you off that one. Just wanted to make sure, Anna. I just wanted to make sure you were watching. Just want to make sure you watch. Anyway, the Doctor and Rose are sort of clamped in some sort of strange sort of device to, you know, to keep them, stop them from moving too much. Oh, home and Sheddy. You know what that means, don't you? Ben's ready. So don't sound annoyed. I'm still going to add him on anyway. Right, so that is...
Why would he annoy?
That's all.
Oh, it doesn't take a lot to annoy you lot.
Oh, well, no, that's the right
one. Annoy me. He hasn't annoyed me for ever.
A week.
Not? I don't know which is the right one.
Well, the one that sent you the message, usually.
Oh, yeah. God.
I know, but I don't know which is the right Ben.
Message him.
He's got umpteen... Oh, God.
Just message him.
You want to make a note of which one is correct. And
all right. All right, this makes really good podcasting as I shut up while typing in Skype and it comes up with a really weird misspelling of it.
You should have an incidental music for you typing.
Well, while he answers that question, I'll continue. So, they're sort of clamped together in some strange device. And then the Doctor does spot a catheter sort of earwigging in the background. Nobody else spots her. But in the meantime, Adam has managed to find his way into the little think tank room, and he phones up his parents and does his little spike thing.
Don't delete this! Yeah,
and starts absorbing and exchanging information. But unfortunately for the Doctor, who's trying to be, you know, secretive, it also gives the editor the information about him. But only the information that Adam knows. So he doesn't know his name or anything like that. It's only what Adam's learned while in his company.
And he still thinks of it as a TARDIS.
Then he says TARDIS.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It starts with TARDIS.
Right, I've got Ben's thingy now, so I should be able to get him.
You have his thingy? Really?
Oh, bloody hell. I pasted it twice. Oh, there we go. Here he is. Got him. Here we go. And he's online, so this should work quite well.
Are you sure?
And while Ben comes on, I can say that Andy Nunny says, "Damn, I watched the long game in the week and forgot to record a piece for you. I really enjoyed it. Simon Pegg was excellent, and my main point was going to be whether Adam was deliberately meant to be more annoying than Adric." I can hear myself coming back through Ben. Ben, have you got earphones?
No, I've just got you on the speaker, mate.
I can hear myself coming back. It's really weird. I'm like, I didn't realise how good I sounded until then. more
you're
annoying.
Sure you're hearing yourself. That's me talking now.
Oh, yeah. Andy says that Adric came through on the autocorrect as African.
Right.
Go well, everyone. Go well. But anyway, I'm Ben Shuttle, everybody.
Yay!
You know, you always do a quote at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one.
Go on, then.
It's not a snap, is it?
No. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just remember it.
You can remember it, can you? Shall I play some lift music?
If I was I can't remember it.
Ooh!
Okay, hold on. I've just thought of one.
Oh, go on, then.
Run.
Run?
Yeah, there you go.
Run.
That's all. I did have one.
Sorry,
I'm just...
Why did you put that on?
And it said...
You know what?
Large crowd chanting, it said. I thought that would be quite interesting.
I've left my wire to connect my phone to my speaker so I can actually hear you. And I'm not able to go and retrieve it now.
At no point in this episode does the Doctor say run.
Oh, be quiet, Kirby.
He did, but it was cut out.
I think he should have done.
He'll say excellent.
Yeah. Now I think
fantastic.
Fantastic.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Excellent. Yeah. Fantastic.
But I think there was a few times. Hang on a sec. I think there was a few times in which he should have said run. Yes, Kirby.
One thing they did cut out, which would have helped, was to give Adam a reason why he was being so like this. He was actually looking for a cure for some sort of illness that his father had.
Are we doing Dalek?
Well, but I have information as to why they cut it out. They cut it out because the original script for Dalek had the guy who owned and ran that whole situation.
Van Stratton.
Yeah. That it was supposed to turn out that Adam was his son.
Was I?
Oh.
And that he was, and that Van Patten, whatever his name was going to be inflicted with something that would kill him in a few years. So then they wrote that into this episode for Adam to try to cure his father.
Okay.
But because they cut that out of Dalek, they also then cut it out here.
Okay, that makes sense that it doesn't make sense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what he's sort of over spiking at the moment, so he's getting too much information and vice versa, so he's sort of getting a bit, his brain's being a bit fried. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Rose gave him the key. I thought, what are you doing that for? You already know the blooming nipper.
I know, that is so stupid.
Yeah. So anyway, Catheter, who's been watching this, the doctor drops a few hints to her, and she sort of jumps in this available chair where there's a corpse in it, and just throws the corpse off, and she spikes herself, and basically alters all the engineering of the space station, warms up the Palais Arrero, which of course isn't the alien creature that Kirby knows the full name of.
Jagrafest.
The what?
It's called a Jagrafest.
Kirby knows the full name.
I could look it up, but I'm not going to.
I had to say it last week. He can say it this week.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to make me look it up? Hang on.
I'd rather you didn't. I wish I hadn't said it now.
I'll be back in 1 minute.
Okay.
The Jagrafest of the Holy Hadrojassic Maxo Rodenfo.
Yeah, I won't be able to say that again.
Okay. Anyway, because, of course, everything heats up, they always decide it's probably a good idea to get out of there. Rose uses the Doctor's sonic screwdriver to get herself free, and then helps the Doctor get free just in the nick of time. The creature's going to blow up, basically, and so is the whole area. And they sort of try to get out, and so does, in fact, the editor. But who's supposed to be dead, grabs hold of his ankle and stops him from getting away. And then a boom! And
chunks of whale meat.
Yeah, lovely.
Really chunks of whale meat.
Oh, no, not again.
Yes. Well, that's what it reminded me of.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, so it's an episode of Torchwood, isn't it, where there's a great big whale-thick creature. Which they,
yes, exactly.
Yes.
So when are we going to do Torchwood?
I'm not going to do Never. Torchwood. We've done Torchwood before. Who's that you fiddling around, Ben? Right, that's it.
That's Ben fiddling.
Naughty Ben fiddling around.
It is me fiddling.
Oh dear. What on earth is that?
Hold on.
I'm holding
Say
on.
Something.
Say something.
That's better. I can hear you now.
Something.
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 Actually, I plugged you all in so I can hear you properly through my speakers now.
Yes.
Realised it was a hell of a lot better when I couldn't hear you through the phone.
But now you sound like you're talking through one of those old-fashioned sort of those microphones, you know, they used to get with iPhones that come on the very sort of... It doesn't matter, as long as I can hear
you. He sounds fine. What are you talking about?
I can hear him. That's the important thing. Anyway, right then. So, anyway, the Doctor is quite cross with Adam.
Cross? Yeah. He's putting it mildly.
sort of basically frog marches him into the TARDIS and then drops him back at home. And they have a few bits of fun by clicking fingers and opening up his forehead, and the Doctor removes the information that Adam recorded. into the phone machine. I would say
he kills the answer machine.
He kills it, yeah. But like I say, I think they could have kept something in about the reasons why he was so keen to get this information. It would have made him a bit more of a likable character.
Yeah, they did have to they could have rewritten it so that his father wasn't necessarily Van Staden or whatever.
Yeah, it could have been,
but just his father was sick.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we've seen pictures of his mum and dad with him, so it's not Van Stratton.
Yeah, but the thing is, all he wanted to do was to make money out of the future, yeah. Very Back to the Future.
They sort of change his character. Anyway, mum comes home, and we knew it was coming, didn't we? Some of the working like the finger that. Click into it. And, yeah, very funny. And then we have a sort of like a preview clip of one of my favourite Doctor Who stories right at the end of it. So, yeah. Long game. It was as a filler episode, wasn't it, everybody? But a very enjoyable filler episode, and seeing a bit of stunt casting in the form of Simon Pegg was quite interesting, because he was on his way up, shall we say, when this story was made. So it's nice to sort of associate a name such as Simon Pegg.
And Tamsin Grieg as well. She ended up doing
Friday Night Dinner.
Yeah, Friday Night Dinner after this, but she'd just come from like Black Book. She was in the Archers forever.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that. No, she's done loads of stuff anyway. Yeah. But obviously,
she was in the Archers for donkey's years.
For me, she's
Jack Frizz.
Donkey's years.
Yeah. Me and Deb thought it'd be nice if Jim could come and say. What?
On his way up, he had already starred in Shaun of the Dead by this point.
Yeah, but had he been in Star Trek?
Star Trek and Hollywood.
Yeah. So he was on his way up, thank you. Debbie?
Yes?
I'm going to ding this for myself, because I'm right.
You're always right.
Yeah.
Apart from where Debbie's right, which is 95% of the time.
The trouble is, I'm right, but I've also forgotten what I was going to say, because I got interrupted by a certain person. It was okay. Right then, Debbie, what did you think? Debbie!
You're me?
I think you're Debbie, aren't you? Or have you changed your name?
Well, you went all funny.
Oh, well, I'll try my best.
Yeah, and also, two of us have names that end in E. So sometimes
your name ends in Y, Kirby. My goodness.
Three of us.
Mary as well.
No, it's
your name ends in Y.
Benny. Benny. Yeah.
Mary is it? Adamy. Somehow Adamy, it doesn't.
Yep.
It doesn't get
Baldy.
Nosy. Pedanty. <Yeah. laughs> all the new.
A minute later, after saying Debbie, we still haven't got into it. Right. God, it's just like this blooming show.
I like this one, but I am very, very annoyed with the way that Adam behaves.
Well, I'm sorry. I just get a bit hacked off with things.
Knowing what had been cut and things like that, it really does feel very, very bitty episode. I don't hate it, but it does feel fillerish. This is the first proper filler story, I think, for Doctor Who that then, unfortunately, we become quite bogged down with them in later stories. And it is it's great setting
series.
But it's great because it's setting it up for obviously the denouement, the end of the series. And I love the Jagrafest. I think that's a terrific idea. I'd like to possibly, we should have spent a bit more time maybe looking at why he was there more than anything, and where he all the lore, Doctor Who lore that they could have established got lost in the comedy factor of him having his puke nanos and things like that.
That's what I forgot to mention about the nanos, Deb. Because obviously they mentioned nanos for the not the next story, but the story afterwards, because there was an association of them. Carry on.
Yes, exactly. And so you get the idea of the nanotechnology. It is a perfect filler episode, but it just doesn't hold me as a story, because I think I don't agree with Adam at all as a character.
Oh, for God's sake, I try my blimmin' best. God's sake.
That was just the only really mishitting bit in this whole story that would raise it. For me, this is a 3 out of 5. It would have been raised to at least a 4 if they could have got a handle on who he was supposed to be. But other than that, the music, acting, the idea, and also what I know is I know what's to come as well. It's a good filler story. There you go.
Thank you, Dan. Ben, do you remember this one?
Well, the first thing I'll say is, which one?
The long game.
The one with Simon Pegg in it.
Yeah, the one with
the long game. So that was the one where they turn up in the alien place and they do the thing. Future. They turn up in the future.
Yeah.
And they do the thing.
Yeah.
And then they do something that gets them in peril but escape the peril. And
so you're talking about every episode of Doctor Who? No, we're talking about the one where, where Simon Pegg's in it and the foreheads open up to reveal
the history is wrong all the way through it as well. That's what the Doctor
Who
I'm only playing with you.
Ben, you actually were in the episode 9 years ago of this podcast where we spoke about this one.
So. Well, then he's done the time, he's fine.
I've told you before, Kirby, if you find something that I've said in the past, clip it for me, and then when Adam says, Ben, what do you think? That way I can carry on watching the football, doing some editing.
There's no football on tonight.
It's brilliant. I may do that one of these days.
I'd love it if you did. That would save me so much time. No, this episode, I agree. It's kind of fillery. I think it misses something. There's just something that should be in it that's not. Maybe Eve Miles written into it. Could have been the place for her. I don't know. But, I mean, it was all right.
Well. Hey, one of the old
Thank
ones.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I think that's first appeared in podcast number 87. Kirby, you can correct me on that.
I think that may have been what you said 9 years ago.
I had a funny feeling.
It's all right,
that,
yeah.
No, but what was I going to say about it?
I can't remember.
There was something, but I can't remember what it was. So I shall pass to the next contestant.
Well, you'll pass to me, who says... Well, it's Robert Wench Jr., who says, glad Adam didn't last long. Didn't like him.
Me neither.
But he was made that way. And then he says, probably easier to say the word from Mary Poppins. What word from Mary Poppins?
What word is he talking about?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Say it again, Kirby. Try again. There you go. Say two.
For you to say, mate. Spialidocious.
Anyway, Kirby, what did you think?
Who shot Kirby?
It is what it sounded like.
I don't know, but maybe it was the bloke who stole Lady Gaga's dog. Anyway, carry on.
Are you blaming Kirby for stealing Lady Gaga's dog?
Let me know when I can actually say that.
Oh, I forgot this happens every week. Sorry, Kirby.
What happens?
We wait for you to start while Ben says, well, you can start now for about half an hour.
Kirby, when you're ready, mate.
I keep getting shot.
You keep getting shot. Somebody keeps playing a harp.
Anyway, this is not a filler episode to me.
Oh, yes,
I like this one. I like this one. It's Simon Pegg is brilliant in it. I like that, as Debbie's already pointed out, we are setting up for the two-parter at the end of the series.
Yes.
And we're even going to use all the same sets. Amazing.
No.
Multi-use.
Yeah, but they did that with the Wheel in Space, didn't they? Was it Wheel in Space and the Cyberman story, which I can't remember what it was called.
Yes.
Tom Baker's first season.
Yeah, there's not much else I can say except that this one is one of my favorites. And the Face of Bow segment that I used for the
Face of Bow pregnant, yeah.
There's your Bad Wolf reference as well, because it was announced on the Bad Wolf channel.
Is that it?
Yep, that's pretty much it. You usually call me on the
terrible the weather in this place. Right then, thank you, Kirby. Therefore, that leaves me... Oh, I've got the wrong folder. Hang on. priority jingle folders in the background.
What do you think, Leia?
Sorry?
Leia's offering her opinion. What did you think, Leia Lou?
What do you think of it?
I mean, seriously, we have dropped a really, really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Now,
well, I'm not what, asking the opinion of a cat.
We're getting a cat's
Leia
opinion.
Leia is not the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. You've been my co-host for years.
Aww.
I mean, I'm not sure if I'm available next week.
unless,
of course, we can bring on my goldfish and find out their opinion.
Okay, Mary, what did you think of it?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, oh dear, sorry, Mary. I
Mary got
might have switched sound effects at the wrong time there.
You'll have to do that again.
Oh, God.
What's the special effects?
Mary, what did you think of it?
They're not very special.
Well, I think the best thing that can be said about this episode is that it's the one that no one remembers.
I do.
What, the episode of Doctor Who or the episode of the podcast?
That crowd. When I was
Which
watching.
What are you talking about, Mary?
I know it's been on before, but I don't remember how this goes. I don't remember anything about this.
Oh, that's good then. It's like watching it brand new.
It's like watching it brand new.
Yeah, Mary, it's because it's so bitty. It just doesn't stick.
Yeah, and as you all are calling it a filler episode, it definitely is that. I mean, it's
Thank
sitting
you, Mary.
Up as we know, but it really doesn't address anything important, except yeah. These days, I think it is more on point than many other Doctor Who episodes have been, because the major theme is how the news is controlled by an organization that wants to make sure that the people of Earth only hear the news that, you know, that this organization wants them to hear. And I think that is very prescient to current situations where we have very few corporations dictating what is politically correct for one crowd of people to hear, and trying to stifle news that is not, you know, the politically correct kind. So that message came through loud and clear, and I think is more important now than it was at the time that this episode came out.
Like, yeah, looking at reference as well with Myanmar, it did hit home a lot with that.
Yeah. How much our news is controlled and controls how we think and how we act. It's really, you know, that was really hitting me strong. And to Kirby's point about, you know, why are we using cash points and all that, the director made a deliberate effort, I was reading, that to keep this episode from being futuristic, even though it's, what is it, 200,000 years in the future, because people laugh at classic Who because, you know, the futuristic outfits and the way people are doing things, you know, are things that are sources of amusement now. And he wanted this episode to be more timeless. So he mixed, you know, some futuristic stuff, but used a lot of retro stuff in order to keep it more, you know, in the middle.
There was a big hoo-ha about the fact that one of the women in that original circle where I can't remember her name because all I want to say is the rude version. When Kathaka does her first spike, there was a huge thing about the fact that a lady was wearing a Topshop shirt in it.
Why is this
a big thing? And it was like, well, it's supposed to be set in the future and it's a current trend Topshop thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. And when you're
concentrated on from this episode.
Yeah, and when you look at Suki's outfit, I mean, she's very 80s, you know, with her little floppy sleeves and all that. But I mean, there's so much in here that just doesn't make sense. I mean, dead Suki, you know, grabbing the editor and, you know, if she's dead, she's dead.
Science fiction fantasy TV program.
And everybody that visits floor 500, even though they're trying to show it being really cold, nobody reacts to it being cold, and you don't even see any frosty breath. So it kind of works against the floor being that cold. And when you see that whale creature from the ceiling with all of his teeth, you got to wonder, what does he eat? What sustains him? Because he looks like a creature that would, you know, eat the humans, you know, that are coming up there, but he doesn't touch any of them.
Yeah, but it's the Uber Eats that he gets delivered to the driver's food.
Whoops. Bam, I've just opened something up in
there's, like
iTunes.
I said, there's just so much that just, you know, it didn't make sense to me. And like apparently
bear
a
with,
lot of
bear
people,
with.
I had no memory of it. So it was very forgettable and all of that, but you know, I kind of enjoyed it. So
so did I, Mary.
If I were to put it on a scale of 5, I'd say like 1.5, maybe 2.
There you go.
Oh dear, that went back down. I quite kind of enjoyed, but 1.5 to 2. That sort of contradicted itself.
But it is 2.5 to 3.
Yeah, there are aspects of it that I didn't enjoy.
Yeah. I've got to disagree. I'd definitely give it 78 out of 92.
I give it for this series. It's not a Slovene episode.
Right.
Get some sound effects for your birthday.
No, I just found my 300 sound effects folder. Oh no, this is one of the oldest folders on my blooming computer. This one, I did have a little machine that used to do the sound effects, but this is much more fun because they're all listed in front of me, and this one used to make magic bark. Anyway, right. So,
I mean, I think the thing you missed in what I was saying there, the very important bits,
yeah,
were the last three words, which was "leave it alone."
I deliberately missed those words. Anyway, we've got stuff coming through on the feed on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, namely from Tim Drury. Who says, pronunciation not an issue this week, as Simon Pegg says, I call him Max. Robert Vince Jr. says, so Mary, did you hate Dalek like the fake you didn't like last week? And then Brandon says, filters, sound effects, what next, charades? Well, maybe.
Answer, Robert, I loved Dalek.
Yeah, that was a very quick summary. Excellent.
Yep.
Which means we've finished that bit, and now we can move on to the feedback bit. Kirby, you'd be surprised to hear, normally puts a request for feedback on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. But I don't know if it might be radioactive. Hang on, just testing. See if it's radioactive or not. No. I think it might be all right. Might get away with it. Go on, then.
Robert Wince Jr. says, review of The Long Game. Well, I feel the same way as Neil felt last week. I was bored with the episode. The CGI of the monster was terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
15 years ago.
The Simon Pegg in his evil lair was one-dimensional at best.
Oh, dear.
The fake news story was true, especially with the last 4 years of Trump presidency. Adams being a companion was short-lived.
Why do people keep harking on about this?
Well, you were a very short-lived...
I'm 5'10". Carry on.
Better wear stocking caps from now on.
What?
He was very selfish and stupid and should have set a code for his head instead of a snap of the fingers.
Could this be regarded as trolling?
Yes. If I was watching this on TV, just like Wanda, I would be in my bathrobe with a bowl of cereal and wouldn't care about this episode. I would switch the channel and watch the weather. 2.5 out of 5. And he had a picture from last week's
WandaVision.
Yes. Ian Kirk says he was very selfish and stupid. Adam Pearson knows a song about that.
Hey?
Money, That's What I Want by the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm not going to play that. Oh, no. Oh, that means I've got to find... Yes, I was instructed to find some stuff from a certain young Kirk chap, wasn't I?
And Robert Wentz Jr. says, yep, I like that song. Ian says, I'm off to get my first corona vaccine this afternoon, so won't be feeding back. Kirby will know when I last reviewed this, so the archived MP3 can be exhumed, which I'm assuming you're doing.
Stop nicking my plan.
This was episode 99, February 13th, 2012, by the way.
Oh, well, that's interesting, because I've got one. Oh, damn. No, that's the wrong one. It says The War Games. Carry on.
And Robert Wiss Jr. congratulates Ian for getting his COVID shot. Neil James, The Long Game. So here we have the mid-series point of the first rebooted series. It's very blue and very, very bland. The idea of showcasing what happens when a new TARDIS passenger doesn't work out and fails his companion test in a massive way should have been really interesting, but it just isn't. Adam is a dull character. And in turn, he makes a long
Adam,
gap.
Adam, they're not talking about you, Adam. They only said dull character.
I refrain from using any explicit.
Long game, a dull story. It serves as kind of a prequel to the series finale, but other than that, it's largely forgettable despite featuring a winning cast, including Simon Pegg, Tasman Greig. Is that Greg? Greig? I don't know how to pronounce her last
Greig.
Name.
It's Greig.
Okay, Anna Maxwell Martin and Christine Adams. And one of those is Sookie. There's too much CGI, and even Chris and Billy look like they know they're in a bit of a clunker. Even trying to pronounce the monster's full name isn't as fun as it should be. A pretty boring episode, which always makes me feel a bit sorry for Adam's mom.
Ah, she's all right. She's at home quite comfortable.
I'm off to have a croc burger. 2 stars out of 5.
Don't read that bit. Next.
I know. Terry Miles says, does Scott Gill know about his pregnancy as they married afterwards in 2013?
Right.
Right. Okay. Ian Kirk says, we first reviewed this story years ago, but the time has flown by just like that.
Now, there you go. Right then. Now, I was advised that I'm made to believe that that Ian hadn't sent anything through for this, so I'm a bit confused, but anyway.
Go back to 2012 and find it there.
Oh. I can't go on then. I'll have it back. I did do a search for the long game. All it came up with was 2012, you say?
Yes.
Right. I've got Flesh and Stone. Right. War Games. I haven't got anything from Ian in my thingy, archive. Unless he sent it on the old email address, which I haven't got access to. Oh dear, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Sorry about that. That means that I have to play what he sent me this time. Is that all right?
Can I do
that?
Oh, he did send it to you. Okay.
Okay.
Ladies, gentlemen, multisexuals, undecideds, The Long Game by Russell T. Davies. The Jagger first reminded me of Robert Maxwell. And the editor called him Max. Sookie was played by someone called Anna Maxwell Martin.
Sookie.
There were no aliens, because they tightened up immigration due to the threats. This story predicted 2016. Adam was too greedy to be in the TARDIS crew.
Beg your pardon.
That's what I want. It was a good story, well acted by a brilliant cast.
Yes.
It will soon be Father's Day.
Yes.
I had my first corona vaccination today at the Leeds United football ground.
Oh dear.
They put a needle on a football and kicked it at me. Wotan, what was the Leeds United score?
Oh, shut up. Right. La 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 la. That's better.
Bye for now.
Oh, Hatter.
Well.
Well, he did not inform me that he had enough time to go and record today, so...
Well, I'm sure...
I mean, what's interesting, that if he's just gone and got his first coronavirus vaccine, you must have had yours about 4 months ago, Adam.
Well, yes, it's another allegation, that's the word of that I'm old. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't think there's any allegation there, mate.
Well... As the oldest one of us, I get my second one a
it's
week
It's not
today.
A bloody competition. I'm 55. I'm 54. Right. I'm 54, not bloody 55. Otherwise, I'd have my Bimin pension money in my pocket if I was 55.
Well, that's well old, that is.
Anyway, Brandon Moore sent in this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Mr. M giving you some feedback on The Long Game by Russell T. Davies. It's been a long time since I've generally contributed any feedback to you at all, and really? A long time since I've done any audio feedback for any podcast, so bear with me if this is a bit ropey, but I'm sure you'll find it interesting. My main memory of this story is that I actually don't have a memory of when I watched it. I watched the first series of the show after... I started watching with the second series when David Tennant became the Doctor, and I sort of randomly cherry-picked through the first series, depending on what episodes I could get hold of. And The Long Game was one of the last ones that I watched, and it's one of those stories which nothing really sticks in my head about it at all.
Like I said.
Which is ironic, given that the only real thing I do remember is Adam and his thing that's sticking out of his head.
What? That was earlier on in the broadcast.
Adam is an interesting idea, to have a companion that couldn't, the companion that failed, and Bruno Langley is... Well, I wouldn't exactly say he's charismatic.
Very polite.
I struggle to believe that at the time of broadcast, anybody would have actually believed that Adam would survive for more than the episode that he was in. I'm sure many people were surprised that he even survived Dalek, to be honest. But I guess it's okay. It's an interesting experiment. It's not something that I think needs to be repeated again, and it's not something that I think needed to be done, but I'm fine with it. This story was, I believe, almost trial run for the sort of Doctor Light episodes, which became the norm during the Russell T Davies era. Christopher Eccleston does not have a lot to do. Rose also doesn't have a lot to do. It kind of focuses a lot on Adam, on Kathaka, and on the editor, played by Simon Pegg. Does a really good job. Really, probably the most memorable villain of the first series, as opposed to a monster. Although I suppose Cassandra, but is Cassandra a villain or a monster? It's
yes.
A debate for another time. Tamsin Grieg, of course, as the nurse, is a brilliant sort of cameo, and yes, fantastic actress.
I've forgotten
it's a
about
shame that.
That
she didn't have more to do, really. The episode is directed by Brian Grant, who I believe he directed the music video to the song Physical.
Oh.
And his direction style is a bit odd. He kind of shoots a lot of the episode through this sort of glittery curtain, which gives it a really odd sort of out-of-focus look, which I don't know, but I guess is some kind of interpretation of a metaphor for how the news and the media sort of clouds information or kind of... but I don't know, it just looks odd. It kind of makes me feel like I've got glaucoma when I'm watching it. But... yeah, I mean, it's just an episode that's there, isn't it? It's not particularly harmful. It's not particularly bad. It's just not particularly... It's all right. I guess it's the first real weak episode of the revival, but compared to some of the other stuff to come, particularly in the Chris Chibnall era, it's a heck of a lot better. Just kind of search my brain for any other random things that come to mind. The episode was heavily truncated in editing. When the Doctor's trying to get up to floor 500 and he fiddles with the lift, rather than him just suddenly gaining access, a courier was supposed to come along on a bike and give him like a special key card. And they actually filmed that scene, but it was cut from the episode at a later point. And I mean, they didn't have deleted scenes on the first series DVD box set, but it sounds pretty crap. so we can see why they cut it. But it's interesting, listening to the commentary, I remember the director didn't even seem to remember if those scenes were cut from the broadcast episode or not. And I don't think he had a full handling or understanding of the story, which I don't think helped its translation to the screen. Another thing, another sort of notable thing is that, of course, this story is based on an idea that Russell T Davies submitted to the Doctor Who production office in the late 80s. Yeah. I think it kind of gets a bit confused in Doctor Who lore as to whether or not this is the actual script that he submitted and got a letter back, or whether this is just a story idea that he pitched himself. I can't quite remember it. I know his lost script is being adapted by Big Finish, but I think that's for a different story. But it'd be interesting to see how it differed. But this story does feel very classic Who. It feels very 70s Who. It feels very McCoy. And I can just imagine the Seventh Doctor going around and kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Imagine Sylvester McCoy and Simon Pegg in sort of riffing off each other. That would be good. Anyway, next week, gas mask zombies wandering around. No.
No.
It's Father's Day next. It is. Father's Day is a good story. Yes. So I'm sure I can find you some feedback for that as well.
Yes, that'd be good. Okay, thank you.
Until next week, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, Brandon.
That was so great to hear from him.
It was.
Because he was such a prolific feedbacker
back in the day.
Early days.
Yes.
Feedbacker.
I seem to remember him being rather a big fan of Alicia.
Yes.
I have to say, we're not the big fan of her at the moment because she's been banging on about her wedding all the blimmin' time.
But yeah, he kept proposing to Alicia.
Too late, she's getting married.
and his trying to figure out what he was trying to type in those days.
Yeah, that was so good fun, though. Because we used to read it phonetically as it was actually written. It was creating it created an awful lot of really good fun.
Thank you for that, Brandon. To hear from him again.
It was. Right, now we've got some stuff sent through because I'm trying to pad out
I will read Robert's if you'd like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. I was going to try and sandwich that in between the two bits of feedback I've sent the ladies. Am I allowed to call you ladies? Because I get into trouble for using certain female terms.
Ladies is fine by me.
Ladies, all right, is it? I can use that one.
I might have to cancel you out, Adam.
Am I not allowed to use ladies? Women.
With me, fine. But, you know, if anybody overhears, you know, then they're going to cancel you out.
Oh, Adam, okay. You just asked the question, am I not allowed to use ladies?
I said the term, ladies.
No. If I could clip that, and I will, then that could be used against you quite badly.
Yeah, we'll just ignore you in there, you know.
Well, before Kirby gets on with the thing, there's some stuff coming through. Leave the sound effects alone. Shut up, Ben Shoveler. Robert Vance Jr. said, must be Sound Effects Sunday. It's always Sound Effects Sunday on this show. And Brandon Moore said...
hearing the ball out today.
Brandon Moore says, MZ Tupsing has funny prmprs. That helps out you out there, Kirby. Right then. Yes, Kirby. Robert Haynes feedback.
Yes.
Between the girls. The ladies, sorry.
Pardon?
I thought you were Sam.
I changed my mind, you see. This is what, when you're in charge, you get the opportunity to change your mind.
I mean, some people, Adam, would say you're power hungry, but I've seen how much you will eat and the size of you, so you can't be hungry.
I don't know why those wolves decided to get their 10-penny thing. Go on then, Kirby, let's do a Robert Haynes feedback section.
Anyway, my feedback on The Long Game. Not one of my favorite episodes. It feels very much a filler episode. No, it doesn't. We're back to a space station orbiting Earth, which seems to just function as a center for beaming down news. Though what this creature really wants from just hanging about in a space station for 100 years is unclear. Wouldn't there be much nicer places it could go? One thing I do hate is stories that say something has been going for hundreds or thousands of years, and all it takes is the doctor's arrival and things fall overnight. This is Doctor Who, come on! And another thing I hate is Rose. She no longer thinks about Mickey and has moved on to Adam Quicksmart. What a cow. Serves her right in the end as he turns out a right dud. Just thinking, Adam mustn't watch the Addams Family anymore.
Why not? I'm not really a fan of Adam's Family anyway, to be fair.
And by the way, with next week, she really does think about Mickey because she meets little Mickey.
Stop dropping spoilers in. No one's ever seen these episodes of Doctor Who. Carry on.
Spoilers.
Little Mickey.
Yes. Little Mickey. That's a euphemism, fine. Isn't it?
I don't remember that scene. Was that a late night episode?
Little Mickey. Oh, little Mickey. Yeah.
Any more, Kirby?
No, that's all that I have.
Oh, you could have told me that was the end of it. I could have found a suitable sound effect to wind everybody up with. How about this one? Right then.
Why does he get that?
Because that was the one that happened to be on that I had to land on when I was spinning the thing through. Right then.
Wait, you're doing sound effects roulette?
Well, I can do sound effect voices. I've got that app on mine.
Anyway, right then. So next is Linda and Terry Miles feedback, dictated by the very lovely Deborah Melrose.
The Doctor, Rose and Adam travel to Satellite 5, 200,000 years in the future. The space station Satellite 5 is orbiting the Earth. Satellite 5 provides 600 channels of news and information to everyone on Earth, and the crew, oddly all humans, who have chips implanted in them allowing their brains to work as computers. They explore the station, and they learn about Level 500 that some of them are promoted to, but they are never seen again. Did I miss the Bad Wolf mention? If it was there, I missed it. The Doctor and Rose...
I told you where it was.
We know. The Doctor and Rose go to that freezing cold Level 500 to find out just who is up there. Why isn't the TARDIS
Who was up there?
Doctor Who, or just somebody that isn't... Carry on.
Why isn't the TARDIS translation field working? How come Scotty from Star Trek can understand Must be a special chip in his head. Why isn't the floor icy with all that dibble? I think it must be dribble from the microphone. I like the word dibble. I'm going to use that. Adam, meanwhile, tries to access the computer banks with a view to taking advanced knowledge back to present-day Earth.
Excuse me.
Would let him.
I'm going to be getting my lawyers out in a minute.
Why?
These allegations. I'm starting to get a bit hacked off with it.
Ah, oh, God. It must be really hard being the only Adam in the universe. Silly Pratt is talked into having a door put in his forehead by Tamsin Greig, who is disguised as a nurse. It's called Silly Pratt, not Adam now.
Hey!
Question for the computer geeks: is an SMT invented in 2019 anything like a megabyte modem?
Yes.
There you go. Love the Doctor saying he's your boyfriend, and Rose saying not anymore.
Yes, I forgot about that, but that was good.
My quote. He's your boyfriend. Kathika Santini-Cadeni helps the Doctor by adjusting the heating and killing the mighty Jagrafess, who looks remarkably like the nesting consciousness but hanging from the ceiling.
Oh yes. Good well, point. That deserves one of them.
Well, that companion didn't last long. Oh dear, we must have time travelled. It's June 20th next week. Father's Day has come early. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Now, having you on the show, just a reminder, which I didn't mention this last week, that we need a Dicky Ticker update.
Hopefully I am seeing a doctor next week.
The Doctor?
Mm.
I'm not sorry, just a sick bay monitor, just checking that your dicky ticker's all right. Yeah, sorry.
I'm fine.
Is a dicky ticker anything like a little Mickey?
I have a dicky ticker, my dicky ticker.
Hang on, just switching it straight. Sounds all right to me, Debbie.
No, I'm doing all right.
Bit fast.
It's fast, my blood pressure is high, everything is still pretty much as it was when I had my little heart attack last year, but it's... livable, and the sun's out and has been out for the past couple of days, so it's fantastic. So it's doable, and hopefully I feel the same, but also just better in myself. So there you go.
Good.
On that little bit of information that Terry brought out, that the creature reminded him of the nesting consciousness. I did read that the person who voiced this creature, Max. Was Nicholas Briggs, but they had to alter it way beyond what he did because they said what he originally recorded sounded too much like the Nestine consciousness.
I never even noticed
in
that one.
Feedback. What was the date that he said?
Who?
Something about June.
Who?
June the 20th is Father's Day here in the UK.
Yes, it is.
Oh. Okay, because the episode takes place on 7th November 1987.
God. Well done, Kirby. Right then, this deserves one of these.
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make a cup of tea. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee.
Right then, what's her name? Oh, yeah, Mary, you've got some stuff to
good luck
to
hear about.
I'm a little mad at you, Adam, when you send me his things and they've got these super difficult words in them, when you send them to Debbie and she stumbles over them, it's funny. When I stumble over them, it's just sad.
That's true, actually. The old dulcet tones don't quite suit the stumbling over words aspect of it, do they?
Okay, so
I can
here
put
we
some
go.
Comedy sound effects in, though, if you want me to, just to cover over any potential...
We could cough.
Disasters.
We've got a chimpanzee getting excited.
We could cough over you.
Okay.
Carry on.
He writes, the mighty Jagrafess of the Holy Hadrojassic.
Just call him Max.
Of... or
literally, just call him Max.
Yeah, Max. Yeah. This. Yeah, but he does it more than once in this.
So. I know. No, he did it last week as well.
Or this isn't great, but it's better than a hole in your head. Dear 20 Megabyters, the long game is, of course, a closely studied warning about the dangers of media monopolies and the supine adherence to an information monoculture. It suggests that all that is needed to overcome such a situation is for people to keep an open mind and apply reasoned questioning to what the truth is and to take it seriously and with respect. It should be noted that whilst some might think this is a dull filler story with a pretty mundane conclusion, it is in fact very important to what comes later, although admittedly how that connection to the end of the series is not hinted at in any way here, not well explained later. We also learn that the Russell T. Davies is definitely quite keen on overblown multisyllabic names like the mighty Jagrafess of the Holy Hadrojassic Maxorodinfo.
We thought I was going to read this, didn't he?
Which it seems can cover for the lack of exploration of any depth or motivation in a villain. All in all, the long game is not quite as dull as it seemed, following on from Dalek at first broadcast. We had perhaps been somewhat spoilt by the excellent characterization in this series, so here it seems a bit flat, but not terrible. The main protagonist, Blob, on the ceiling seems less impressive than the writer seems to think it is, and may have worked better if it had been explained as more than just a blob on the ceiling, or if we had been privy to at least a small hint at its connection to a more well-established protagonist, which we later vaguely find out about. Simon Pegg, as editor, does to some extent paper over this crack in the ceiling as the effective middleman, but this not as engaging as it needs to be. The Adam subplot does provide a little extra color, albeit that it effectively simply amounts to a reinforcement of the superiority of Rose over him and a chance for the Doctor to get grumpy. This story is perhaps a few seconds too long as saying... the mighty Jagrafess of the Hadrojassic Maxorodinfo is a bit time-consuming. Next up, Doctor Who and the Blinovich limitation effect gone made quite frankly, or your dad must die. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And Ben pointed out that the open-minded part of that particular thing is very, very clever. I need a drink.
I must be open-minded. Click.
Yes. So let's just pull myself up. Oh, I'll just press the wrong button. Oh, bollocks. Right then. So what's the next thing I was going to do? Oh, yes.
I just realized. What? I just realized with the editor, and he's talking to Suki and going liar several times. Every time he does that, he snaps his fingers. Now, if Kathika had been in there, her head would have been opening up.
Yeah. That's another thing.
Well, they had different things, didn't they? Open. They had different things to open the head up. Just saying. Anyway, I need a snack.
Let's get a snack.
Yeah, I'm just frying some bacon.
If we dare to open a chips packet.
Oh, no, it's not a crisp pack. I'm just frying some bacon over a pan. Probably won't be eat it for a while, obviously. Because...
Can you do me a cappuccino with those sound effects?
You're doing what I think I did with sound effects about 30 years ago.
30 years ago? These sound effects are dated 2016, I aim to boys out to you.
You know, right, I'm definitely going to get myself a beer. Been around point, for Adam. A long, long time.
Right, hang on.
I've got a... an LP over here of Doctor Who sound effects. So there.
Yeah, so have I. So.
I've got a sound effect here. Can anyone guess what this sound effect is?
Sounds a bit like this. Anyway, I was just trying to use that to just to fill while the my next.
That was a bag of crisps, by the way.
Was it? I've got a humongous bag of salt and vinegar chip sticks.
I don't want to know what your humongous bag
was. I was going to say salt and vinegar chip sticks before you tried to get all rude.
Ooh, John's got
You're something. Weird.
Well, don't you like salt and vinegar chip sticks?
Ben would bag there.
John's got some.
Nothing wrong with salt and vinegar chip sticks.
Well, there is. I mean, I haven't eaten food like that for a long time because I've been.
Oh, I see. Because it's not very good for you. Is that what you're saying?
Because decided I was too fat before someone told me I was.
Too late for me.
That was my point.
I don't eat a lot.
Lovely and cuddly.
Actually, a lot of the stuff in this room is just for me to look at and admire, because I don't eat that much stuff. I have prawns for lunch. There's not a lot of energy in prawns, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but you have 400 kilograms of them.
No, it's a portion for one, according to Marks and Spencer. So, yes, I don't eat that much.
Is it the size of
him? I'll point out, actually, don't eat. I probably eat about a quarter of what I used to eat about a month ago. So I've been a very good boy. So and now
you've
I'm
lost
not,
any weight, Porky.
I just haven't gained it, which is quite a triumph for myself.
Have you been doing lots of exercise?
I work. That's exercise for me. Thank you very much. I work 7 days. Well, it was usually 7 days a week, 5 days a week. But when I'm doing weddings, it'll be 7 days a week. Won't it? Let's face it. So back to the old 7 days a week scenario. Pardon?
You must have a very heavy camera.
I've got two very heavy cameras, and they're excruciatingly heavy. Hence, I have to wear a holster to save the things it does to your back if you have them. Anyway, what are we talking about cameras for goodness sake?
I don't know, but seriously, I mean, if we're still allowed to use the, you know, derogatory words about people, then I've got a whole list of them here, mate. You've got to wear a holster to put a camera so you can take a little photograph.
I am fat, but not humongously
you're
not fat. Yourself,
yeah. Good.
I'm not doing too bad. My belt notch has gone up a down.
And how is the wedding photography game at the moment, Adam? You've been busy?
No.
Well.
but I've been busy in regards to people moving their dates around a lot. That's what it means.
No.
Yeah,
can I just say at this point, if anyone needs a wedding photographer for their wedding, then someone who is highly experienced, knows what they're doing, produces fantastic results.
Here we go.
Every time, across the board.
Here we go.
I'm giving you a promotion here, Adam.
But I thought you were going to say something like...
Can't afford shipping them over here to the States.
I thought you were going to say something like some other photographer like that was on the telly. David no. Bailey?
Oh. I was doing you an advert.
Oh, sorry. I was expecting some sort of punchline.
I felt a bit bad because I've been quite mean to you tonight. So I was going to do you an...
Yeah, but that's just the
I
same as normal.
I wanted to make it up to you. Because, you know, I mean, sometimes my words, they can be hurtful.
I would be more surprised if you weren't being mean to me. And I've dropped something now. I have to move to a different one. Right then.
You have to afford paying his services and a round-trip plane ticket.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I'll tell you what, if I was going to go abroad to do a photo shoot, pay for me travel and hotel, then you get the photo shoot for free. I think that you can't say any fairer than that, can you?
I think what Adam meant to say there was if you'd like Adam to take some photographs of your lovely special day in America, all you need to do is buy us both a ticket and hotel room separate. I'm not sure with him, Jesus. And then he'll come across and take your photos and I'll go to the theme parks.
Something like that.
Or I could carry his camera because it's so heavy.
Cameras. They are heavy, actually. They are very heavy. They're not iPhones. They're proper... Proper camera. It's not the camera that's heavy, it's the bimmin lens. Right then, so last week it returned, it's back again this week.
No.
Can we see it? Oh, good.
Oh. Right. right then, I've decomplicated the whole thing. There's no jokers. We do have a bonus. Aww. But no jokers.
No jokers, mate.
Then there's a limit to the amount of questions I'm going to ask during this quiz.
Oh, thank God.
no more than 12.
Oh, no, God.
Shut up. Right, the first question... It's a quiz.
We're doing the bloody quiz. I mean, the quiz.
I've told you, if you're going to do this, you've got to email me the questions first so I can give you the answers. Otherwise, I'll just sound like I don't know what I'm talking
about. Well, this is your question. It's the first one on the thing, and it's called When the Cumbrian Monks in 1207 wake the abbot because the bells of St. John are ringing. What sound are they referring to? It's quite an easy one, actually, Ben. Oh, well, you're watching Doctor Who, then.
Referring to the sound of the TARDIS.
Oh, I don't know if that's right. No, it's not actually. I'll give you that, though. It's not the TARDIS. It's the TARDIS telephone. So you've got three quarters
of it. TARDIS telephone.
That'll do. That'll do.
And then it got answered by Matt Smith, who at that point hadn't been Prince Philip.
Too much information. Hadn't been Prince Philip.
But his
that answer
is as correct as an answer I would give, being very complicated.
I retract every word of it.
Anyway, the next question goes to Mary. What age was the master when he was forced to stare into the untempered schism? Now, we've already had this one last week, actually. God knows how it's back on again, but never mind.
He was 12.
He was what? 12? Ooh, I can't find the appropriate sound effect. Oh, here it is. Oh, doesn't want to play it, Mary. Does that mean you don't get it wrong?
Right last week, because I can't remember.
Yes, it was on last week. And
yes,
you should
it was remember. Last week, and I don't remember.
Hey, the answer was 8. Somebody got it right. But
it was 8, yeah.
Too late, Debbie, too late.
Oh, you've got to put the questions out there, Adam. I could have got that one.
Yeah, fair enough. Debbie.
Yes.
What name... Oh, that's right. So I thought it was the same question for a minute. What name
eight.
Was given was to them by Idris? Oh, I can't read this. I don't have my glasses in the right way. Let's try it again. What name given to them by Idris does Amy lend to a perfume to attract the doctor's attention?
The girl who waited?
Rather odd guess. Hang on,
I've
got to pray the
sound. That
oh, yeah, hang on, whoa, hang on. That's for Debbie. Mary?
Terpsichore.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Yeah. That's what it sounds like, what it's written on the card. What do you think it is then, McKirby?
That Terpsichore? No, that's not it.
It says petrichor here, which it sounds almost
petrichor.
Like...
Petrichor.
Petrichor. Petrichor. I'm giving Mary a point for that, because that was pretty good going. I'm giving Mary a point for that. I'm sorry, I'm going to give
was
Mary
it
a point.
Peppercorn sauce, Adam?
No. Point for Mary. Peppercorn sauce.
Excellent. That's another point in the bag.
No, it isn't. Debbie.
What?
Well, what about me?
I've already had your question.
Oh, hang on. Sorry, Deb. Did you get a point then?
No, because I didn't get it right.
Oh, good. Good. Sorry, Kirby. I forgot you were in the quiz.
I got a point for guessing another answer right, but I definitely didn't get my own.
Okay, I'll give you a point for that one because I couldn't remember that bit.
Oh, maybe it is her turn.
No, it isn't.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What is the weak spot on the back of Sontaran's neck that the 10th Doctor identifies? Yeah.
So probing vent, something like that.
Oh, got yeah. there in the end, and you made me knock Wander over doing that ding. I've got my Wander Funko Pop. Is she pretty? That's from WandaVision, by the way. It's a great program on Disney.
WandaVision. Yeah. I hope you saw the most recent one.
Yeah.
It's good, wasn't it? Right then. So 3 points in the bonus pot. So first person to shout out their name gets to answer
Ben.
This question.
Ben.
All right, Ben, here we go then.
Is this like getting the money when you play Monopoly that's in the middle of the board?
It usually helps when I've read the question out first, but as you've shouted out for it, here we go. Which Time Lord's disembodied head does the Fourth Doctor encounter on the planet Khan?
The blue one.
Pardon?
Yeah, the blue one.
The blue
the
one.
Colour. The colour might have been dodgy on the television I was watching it on, but it's definitely a blue one.
May I say their name?
No, because it's a bonus pot question.
Yes, their name.
Oh, I see you trying to be funny. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
I am.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
I know.
Oh, go on then. You don't get the points just for the sake of it, because the points are bonus points. Go on then, what is it? Morbius. Yeah, you don't get any points for it. Well done.
Adam, it's Morbius, Adam.
Is it? Thank you. You don't get any points. Oh, now I've dropped the card now. That was your blimmin' fault.
Did I get the answer right?
No. Yes, but you don't get any points for it, because it's a one-off thing with it. Bonus spot stays at 3 points. Right, we come back round to Ben. Oh, Ben, your question. What was the name of the road in which Rose and the Doctor encountered Chloe Weber and the Isolus Child? Oh my God.
Ah, now, that would have been from the Doctor Who episode.
Yes.
That was around the time of the Olympic Games.
Well done.
And the name of the crescent that the Doctor and Rose went into. And if I remember rightly, whilst they were in there, they met a workman.
Wikipedia.
I can't type and talk at the same time. Will someone cover for about 10 seconds just so I can type the Doctor Who Olympic episode street name, please? Because otherwise, I'm not going to have a clue.
Oh, God.
Yes. Anyway, where was I?
So I can't remember.
In there,
Pad.
They met someone who was resurfacing the road, you see.
Really?
And
oh, yeah, they were.
It was, it was a famous English athlete. Was it Steve Redgrave Muse, or was it Dave Kelly?
No. Oh, if you'd said that bit first, you would have got it. Bad luck. Well, you did rather give the game away for the answer. Anybody want to come up?
I said, was it or is it? I was asking a question. I wasn't.
All right, what is
answer.
It then? What is it then?
Final answer, Dame Kelly Holmes Close.
Oh, dear.
I'm such a cheat. Oh, microphone's still on.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
What was the name of Edwin Bracewell's old flame who
we had
set...
that one last week.
Well, they weren't online.
But I was on last week.
Okay, Kirby, I'll get a different card.
He wasn't on last week.
No, go ahead.
Too late. I've lost the card now. Right, Mary, sorry.
I don't know it anyway.
This is an easier one for you, Mary, because it's a shorter question. Who was the MP for Fydale North?
Go on, Mary.
I know her name. I can see her. Harriet. Harriet.
Come on, did she come from Wales?
No, I guess I'll have to pass because I can't think of her last name.
You might have blown it, Mary, so just have another thing in case you might have blown it.
Is anyone else looking around thinking, what the hell is he talking about?
I know exactly.
I'm wondering what he's talking about.
It might have rhymed with something. Like,
the I said
fly
to,
in
I
the
Mary,
sky.
Adam,
with,
yes? Adam, I said to Mary to think of Martha. How much easier could that be?
Yes, think about Martha.
What about those things that fly in the sky that rhyme with this name? That, you know, that people control with remote controls and stuff.
My gosh, you guys are all over the place. I'll
give you a point for
that. Harriet Jones.
Yay! Yeah.
Yay!
All right. Maybe my clue was going to be think of the person from Monty Python, Terry Jones.
Yeah, Harriet Groans. Yeah.
That would have been the most helpful.
Thank you.
Martha Jones, Harriet Jones.
Next question goes to Debbie Melrose, and this is this question. What was the name of Dorian Moldavar's bar?
Dorian's Place?
Well, that would have been a good name. Whatever. Unimaginative, but good.
I didn't know.
But sadly... anybody? I've gone very quiet, so...
I nowadays, I'm not... going to do the old Google thing.
Okay, there's the answer.
Nowadays, I like the fact that he says nowadays.
Yeah, that's giving the game away.
Hold on, I'm just doing the old Google thing.
Yeah. The answer was the Moldavarium.
It was the Moldavarium. Oh, God, I couldn't type any faster.
Right then, so the next question goes to...
me.
Kirby.
Master.
And it's this one. Which year was it when River Song is posing as Cleopatra and the Doctor is mistaken for Caesar? What year is that then, Kirby?
I don't know.
You won't get this one. No, you don't know. That's quite easy, then, wasn't it?
And anybody? I'm not going to Google it.
Anybody? No? That's all right, then, because that means there's a huge amount of points in the bonus box.
25, yep. 72.
Somebody should have plunked a guess and said 102 AD was the answer to that question. God knows where they dug that blooming question out from, but never mind, that was the answer. Right, then, we come back round.
They probably were watching Doctor Who and figured it out from there.
This is the last round of questions after the bonus pot question, which for 6 points is, remember, not the, don't call out the words your name, it's your actual name, Kirby, before you try and be funny.
Well, what we used to do is say, I know.
All right, say I know then. Right, I know, right. Anyway, this is the question.
So
what
we've
is
got to say, Kirby knows or Adam knows.
The question is this. What is unusual about the Gallifreyan General's 10th regeneration at the 12th Doctor's hands in the High Council Chamber?
I know, but it could be a couple of different things.
I said I know before Kirby, but
I think you did too, Debbie. What was unusual about it?
She was a woman.
No. She was a woman's body, my lord. That is correct. That was a Tom Baker quote, by the way. Right, yes. So well done, Debbie. Yes, you got...
I object.
You do?
Why? Because I'm winning.
Yes. No, because first of all, yeah, that's the first time we've actually seen it. Okay. It's not the first time this happened with a Time Lord.
That's not what it says in the question. That's the question was, what is unusual?
The unusual thing is that that's one of the few times where the Doctor actually murders somebody.
The Doctor murders somebody. He didn't actually murder them. He just caused them to regenerate. That's not murder.
Oh, no. So he looked up the general's number of regenerations ahead of time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right. He doesn't like it when I know something, does
Ben,
he?
Ben, your question. Last round, thank God. Right. What? When be quiet. When in the Cumbrian monks in... What that's, oh, sorry, start again. Sorry, Ben. When the Cumbrian monks in 2012? That's, sorry, 2007. No, 1207. I got the year right. Sorry, I've got my glasses on upside down.
You had this question already.
That can't be possible. Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong line.
Like,
I'm on the wrong line.
I've heard that question before.
Yeah,
we've
had that one
before. Cumbrian monks.
Sorry, it's Kirby's fault. He put me off. Right, it's this question, Ben. In what story does the Doctor encounter the Morph Jetson Company?
The Morph Jetson Company.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, if I remember
oh,
right,
God.
That comes from...
Yeah?
It doesn't say.
Hang on.
All it's come up with is Jetson electric bike scooters on the board of the North. I don't think that's the answer.
Okay, that's fine. Right then, so 1 point goes into the bonus pot. Anybody know?
No.
No.
No? Well,
if they don't know, how the hell
call yourself Doctor Who fans. It was the Rebel Flesh and Almost People.
I watched that
Well. Well, let me tell you something about that story.
A
story that I will put out of my brain as much as possible.
That wasn't bad.
Yes, so have I.
Wonderful.
And that's why I think I deserve another question.
Mary.
No, I demand another question.
You'll get another question.
One.
You'll get another question at some point.
I want to play.
Mary.
Give me a question that I can answer.
What's
Ask
your
me
name?
Who the Thought Doctor was or something.
Right then, Mary. In the
I'm not joking.
Be quiet, I'll come back to you in a minute. Mary, in the Curse of Fenric, what kind of machine is the Russian soldier Sorin trying to steal?
I have no idea, so I'll pass.
Okay, so we'll go like this. Oh, no, we won't. Yes, we will. Oh, half of the wrong
answer. I didn't hear the
question. Oh, for God's sake. Right. In The Curse of Fenric, what kind of machine does the Russian soldier Sorin try to steal?
It's not an enigma.
Not an enigma? No, it's a code-breaking machine, so you get one of these. Oh. Yeah. And there's 4 points in the bonus pot. I don't know how we got 4 points this quickly. Right,
wait,
Debbie.
Wait.
What?
I was asking to hear Mary's question again.
Yes, you did.
That was Mary's question.
That was my question.
Yeah.
So how are we into the?
He's just telling us what's in the bonus pot.
Oh, because
the questions.
It's no wonder I'm bald. I used to have a full head of hair when I started this podcast over 10 years ago. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
In A Christmas Carol, what traditional festive song draws the small fish from the clouds as its music resonates with fog crystals?
Oh, God. I've had this question before and I didn't know it then.
No, that's hinting to something. Sometimes she gets it right after saying that, you know, everybody. Yeah, go on.
I don't know. Silent Night?
Nope. Anybody?
Nope.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
You can't have two guesses, so...
The Fairy Tale of New York by the Pope.
All right. First person to get it right gets 2 points. Go on, then.
Run off Merry some... Christmas, everyone.
Christmas... No, some Christmas sort of things that carol singers would sing, sort of Christmas
Catherine
songs.
Jenkins, We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
No.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
No.
Silent Night.
No.
Holy Night.
No.
All Is Dark.
No.
All Is Bright.
I think I know what it is, but I'm not going. But
why? Could just say it. Somebody say it. They get the point.
People would think that I've Googled it, and so I refuse to say
obviously
it.
Obviously means you have.
No, I have not.
Well, what is it then?
Good King Wenceslas?
No.
No.
Your Google is as good as mine.
Abigail's Song.
No. Will to Live, Slarting to Diminish.
We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
No, one last go. Begins. That, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Shh. Here we go. This will. It's first person. Get the song title begins with a D, with a letter D.
Dance the Night Away by the Mavericks.
What?
Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart?
Well, a choir would sing that song in a Christmas carol situation, would they?
Do you think I'm sexy?
All I want for Christmas is a Dalek.
Oh, yeah.
No, well, I'm giving up on that one, because you're
on
being rather
side,
silly.
Men on the other.
The answer was Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have no idea.
Well,
it's a terrible story, anyway.
Now I've lost Kirby's card.
Ding dong, merrily on high.
Thank you, Mary.
That particular Christmas, Doctor Who Christmas story is terrible? Yes, I agree.
I'll be quiet.
And we were taught in choir to sing ting tong, so you'd hear it in the church better than ding dong.
Right, so that means there's 6 points in the bonus pot. Aha.
Oh, goddess.
You got it, have you?
It's my question.
Right, so this, because that was, it's your question, is it?
That was my question.
That was your question. Now it's Kirby's question.
Kirby's question.
Right,
now,
so then it's the bonus part. Okay, Kirby. Come on, Kirby. This is the one. In the Sontaran stratagem, what was Fountain 6, Luke Ratigan's invention, that made him a millionaire aged just 12?
I don't remember.
That big build-up I gave that question, Kirby. And all it got. Go on then, Debbie.
Was it the tension sheet?
Atmos.
I love the way also confidently piped up the answer. Well, according to this, it was... Hang on, where is it? Hang on. I've lost the question. Oh, got it. Hang on, sorry. Sontaran and Shadowman.
No, it wasn't Atmos.
No, it was Internet Search Engine, Debbie. So it wasn't quite Atmos. It was a good guess. Good guess. Now we got the bonus part. And the very last question, hopefully, of the quiz.
Oh, God.
And ironically, the bonus pot is currently winning, so that's a very sad state of affairs, isn't it? 8 points. That's everything will change. But the scores are, at the moment, in last place with 2 points, Kirby. In third place with 3 points, Mary. In second place with 4 points, Ben. And in the lead with 7 points, it's Smarty Pants, Debbie. But here we go. It could all change with 8 points to play for. And this is the question. I'm going to say, no, that wouldn't be any good. Nobody will get that one right.
Tom Baker.
Right, here we go then. David Bradley, who plays Solomon the Trader, appeared in a drama about the early days of Doctor Who on television. But who did he play?
I know.
Well, Kirby, I think Kirby been I know first, didn't you, Kirby?
Doctor Who!
Yes. I said, I know.
Go on then.
I said William Hartnell.
Joking. You won. Oh. Well done.
Kirby gets 8 points, which means... surprise, surprise. Oh, well, I'll do the final scores just so Ben knows he's not last. In last place with 3 points, Mary. In third place with 4 points, Ben. God knows how he got those. In second place with 7 points, Debbie. And the winner this week with 10 points... it's Kirby.
See, after all that bickering, you still won.
Go first, Kirby.
It's more fun if we can predict who's going to win, because in podcast episode 383, I won because I correctly predicted Andy would get the most points.
Can I just say, I think that was a silly idea of mine. That's why I abolished it.
I agree. I don't think
don't like it.
Say, he only likes it. He only likes it because it led to him winning some games he didn't deserve to win. But on that occasion,
Adam.
Yes,
Adam. I've got to say that after playing and listening to that, I've started to remember why I didn't do this for a long time.
I bet you did. I knew this would put him off, Adam. I told you.
That's why he did it.
No, it's not. Shut up.
Nobody questions the fact that I happen to know the exact episode and when that happened.
No, because we're used to it.
Also know that Adam emails you all the questions and answers beforehand.
Yeah. No, don't.
No, I put that in the spreadsheet.
That can't possibly be true, actually, because I've dropped off them on the floor and they're sort of around my slippers at the moment. I need to dig them up, and I've just put the box for the cards away, and I've got to get the bloody box back out and put them.
I've got a really good idea. Next week or next time we do the quiz, because you do it on YouTube as well. If I watch the YouTube feed, you could hold the question and the answer up that I can see.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know why people take winning this quiz so seriously.
But it's a quiz, Adam.
It's a quiz.
That's it. That's the only answer you need, sir. It's a quiz. People like winning quizzes. It makes them feel clever.
Yes. Right then. So I think we should move on to Doctor Who news.
Quizzes are stress that my dicky dicker can do without.
Oh. Yeah, looks like we won't be doing the quiz for a while, Kirby. Right then, so Doctor Who Chronicles 1965 is being released by BBC. It says, Chronicles is a new series of bookazines from the makers of Doctor Who magazine, examining the landmark years of the show's history and in unprecedented detail. The first issue looks at 1965, the year before I was born, I'll just sort of point that out, when the most popular episodes of Doctor Who attracted more than 13 million viewers and Dalek Mania reached its peak. So it'd be quite an interesting book, wouldn't it, Kirby? Can I get that one?
I'd like to get that one. Yeah. I wonder if I get it. Whowon.co.uk?
Well, I don't know if it's listed there. Yes, of course you can. I haven't got to that bit yet.
Whowon.co.uk?
And you can get it from branches of W.H. Smith. That's all for Doctor Who News this week. Let's get the rest of it from last week.
The thing is, I haven't been in a bookstore in a year.
I haven't been in a charity shop in a year. It's really annoying.
Well, it doesn't appear to be in the latest products list on whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
DWM.
Whowon.co.uk.
561 does. Revolution of the Daleks does. Dalek Combat Training Manual also does, which I've seen that. Somebody seen that in a shop somewhere.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Oh, no, somebody bought it, didn't they? Was it Tim? Somebody on Facebook bought the Dalek Combat Training Manual. Chaos Ring.
Was Tim.
I think it was Tim, yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? There was a book I loved when I was a kid. It was the Star Trek Technical Manual. It had all, like...
I bought that for my dad.
Drawings of... Not drawings, sorry. Like real posh sort of... They were drawings of... illustrations of...
They were blueprints and things.
Yes, of future sort of Starfleet ships from the early days all the way up to the Enterprise. I loved that book. I was always looking at the pictures and that. Aren't I sad? I had too much time on my hand in those days. Crown, which is a torture story by Jonathan Barnes, featuring Harriet Jones, Mary. It's Harriet Jones on the cover. That's all the stuff that's latest. Coming soon, Fourth Doctor...
I'm fast, aren't I?
Pardon?
You're very fast.
It's because it was sitting on the shelf right next to me.
Hey. Fourth Doctor...
I just pulled down my Star Trek Starfleet Technical Manual.
I see. Yes, I love that book. I haven't got it anymore, but I used to love it. I mean, Fourth Doctor 10.2...
Tommy Baker!
Tom Baker is in that story.
Take points off.
Eighth Doctor Stranded 2. These are all Big Finish CDs. Blazing Hour, which is a Fifth Doctor story. And Coffee... featuring Gareth David Lloyd, friend of the show, a Torchwood story. And then we've got novels such as The Crimson Horror by Mark Gatiss and Dalek by friend of the show, Robert Sherman. So yeah, there's lots and lots of really good stuff coming through and available for purchase at our good old friends, whowon.co.uk.
Yay!
whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, it was Kirby.
Yeah, iwheroes.co.uk. You can only buy stuff unless you come to the shop in Great Britain. So they mail to the UK. We're not abroad. There are licensing reasons as to why they can't mail outside the UK. It's to do with licensing issues. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. But you do, if you do happen to listen to the show and you want to buy something from iwheroes.co.uk, you can buy stuff such as this lovely, as I model here, little figure of Wanda from WandaVision in black and white. It's so cool. There's also a Vision version of
this, Vision version? Yeah.
Hey?
A Vision version?
Yeah, Vision in black and white. From the 50s, it's called 50s Wonder, and there's also a 50s Vision as well. I just dropped 50s Wonder on my desk, as you may have heard. And it wasn't a sound effect, that was actually me dropping it.
Yeah, that was Kirby sending something.
And also...
Well, did you see what I said?
Not yet, it's all the first thing. God. I'm busy looking at something else. There we go.
Yeah, I'm just saying that...
Take a look this time.
Three of them!
We bought Freddie Mercury.
Forgot you had it.
Well, I'm talking over my blooming plug for my blooming sponsors, you naughty people. We bought the Freddie Mercury.
I'd like to
point out
that I was being
paper.
Really quiet at that
Thank
point.
Thank you,
I
Ben.
Talking
That's supposed
you
to be
when
done.
You were trying to do your sponsor thing.
Yeah. So yeah, Ben knows that. He's been in broadcasting for many a decade.
I'm sorry, Debbie.
Anyway, Adam, do carry on.
That's what Debbie. I was doing.
Debbie, I'm sorry. I just found a fourth one on the shelf.
Gold.
But this one doesn't have the little insert with the
little
the
insert.
Have.
I'll have to find myself a copy. I know I got one for my dad. Borrow one of your four.
You're not TBH!
But the other thing is the Star Trek blueprints. Those are really interesting.
Yeah,
wouldn't it have been brilliant if a Dalek hosted the Radio Quiz Show just a minute?
My name's Ellis George, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Sorry, are we back to Lavazzi now? Yeah, so Lavazzi have a wide array of...
Adam,
cosplay type items
now.
For Doctor Who, such as my favourite item, the scarf, and of course the Seventh Doctor ? Sweater, which is very iconic, along with various other items of cosplay. And if you want to cosplay the Seventh Doctor, it's probably the best place to go to. The only thing you can't get is his wig. I'm not saying that friend of the show Sylvester McCoy had a wig. It was just you'd need to wear a wig. Well, I certainly would need to wear a wig to achieve the look of the Seventh Doctor. So yes, and of course, if you go to Lavazzi's blog page, you can submit fan fiction and look at other people's fan fiction for Doctor Who. Fantastic stuff. Right, I've managed to just about get through the sponsors unscathed. God knows how. Next week...
That's impossible. That's impossible.
I was going to... I nearly said next week. What I was going to talk about was stuff we've been watching on the telly.
WandaVision.
Yeah, WandaVision's great. It's a really, really good series. But I've been watching some other bits and bobs on Netflix. Mainly history programs, because I'm rather tied up in historical history programs. I was so excited to find that I was descended from William and the Conqueror until I found out what an utter bastard he was, along with some of his grandchildren and great grandchildren, and quite appalled us
great grandchildren. Yeah,
no, not quite that far back. He's my 30 times great grandfather, but. I was just watching there's a program on Netflix about castles and stuff like that, and some of the things that Edward I got up to were quite appalling. So I'm not that proud to have these people as my descendants after all, whether they
be
kings,
tell
queens,
people, or then. That's if you don't have, don't, you don't really don't have to. All of my ancestors were bastards themselves. The
However, I will say, I was correct. Be quiet.
You know, like those really annoying celebrities. I call them celebrities. People who think they're celebrities off like TV shows who aren't actually celebrities, but then they think they're celebrities. Always appear in the newspaper doing stuff that's completely. You don't want to know about. That's
well, tough. It's my show. I want to talk about it anyway. I was quite proud to find that I was descended from Robert the Bruce, Debbie. Och, hi, the new. Stitch this,
hey.
Pal. So, yeah. So me and Her Majesty the Queen are cousins. She'd be absolutely thrilled to find that out, wouldn't she? Right then. So,
I bet she listens every week.
Don't think she does somehow.
No, Philip does, though. currently recuperating listening to all the back episodes, apparently.
Oh, I did wonder, yeah.
Well, I get a lot of enjoyment out of that.
This podcast.
So, anyway, this is a sound we needed for Ben quite a lot over the years. Right then, so.
what is that for the swearing or just generally what I'm talking?
I was just going to wrap up. Anybody seen anything that you can recommend on telly?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, now, it's quite old, but, with Netflix and stuff, everything's new until you've watched it.
Yeah.
We've been watching a comedy from, I think it's about 2016, called The Supermarket or the...
No, it's called Superstore.
Superstore.
We've been watching that. It's absolutely brilliant.
With, what's her name? America Ferrera.
That's
that
the one, yes.
Yeah. We're only about six episodes in, but it's very, very funny.
It is funny. Right, I'm on series two at the moment.
And completely fills my bag.
Yeah, it's good. Really good. Enjoy that. And it's very much like what it is working in that particular environment, as I have done now for probably about 15 years.
Again, Adam, don't tell people some things. There are things you want to keep within, you know.
I don't work for Cloud9, which is the company, the fictional company that is featured in a Superstore. But yeah, we've also been watching, and we talked about this last week, Car Crash Television.
Can you tell us about some of the deals you've got for your evening meal things at the moment? Have you got any like three course meals?
No, I'm not going to do any plugs for Marks and Spencer, but I will do. We're watching Car Crash Television. And it's not about car crashes, Kirby. It's about just television, which isn't very good, but you can't bloody stop watching it. Married at First Sight Australia. My goodness, it's excruciating, but addictive at the same time.
No. Have you been watching it?
Sorry, yeah.
Matt,
nearly at the end
seriously.
Of it. Nearly at the end of it.
Well, that's still a good place to stop watching it.
Yes, I'm not going to talk about that any further.
Seriously, I could have guessed you'd have watched that. Do you know who watches that? My wife.
Does she watch it?
She watches it. I come out to my shed and watch men fighting. No, that sounds wrong. Football, well, that's the same thing. Rugby, you know, proper men's things. Not not Married in First Sight Australia. I'm disappointed in you. You've gone down in my estimation, which even I didn't think was possible.
And of course, the other thing we've been watching. Grange Hill on BritBox. I love Grange Hill. Right then. So next week
I
it's
still
going.
Play early Grange Hill's crap, mate. Later Grange Hill's good.
No. The early one's got really Tucker Jenkins poor. In it. It's the best Grange Hill. Anyway.
No, it's not. It's poor.
Father's it's really Day next time. It's Father's Day.
But it's only March next week.
Oh, be quiet.
And do you know what? Ironically, in England, in a fortnight, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah. Very good.
Because I just had to sort out child arrangements with the child's mother about... Because I'm going to have... Because, you know, it's she might as well see her mum on Mother's Day. Yeah, that's what I've thought. She doesn't want to. That's her mum doesn't want the kid to stay. I mean, come on.
Oh.
I know. Nice.
Right, we've got stuff coming through on the feed before we go. Brandon says, this is a long one, Adam. That's what she said.
No, she really didn't, Adam.
And then he says, I recommend Netflix series Dark. I always recommended Vikings. I did watch episode one, but I must try and watch episode two to get into it. Because again, one of my ancestors, King Rollo, was a bit of a bastard in it, to be fair. And I sort of thought, disillusioned by my ancestry. But anyway,
your children's opinion on you, Adam.
Shut up. Well, yes, it was yesterday, apparently, because I was after the 20th call about wedding stuff from Alicia, I finally flipped my lid by about 5 p.m. in the afternoon. But anyway,
I'm trying to watch the rugby.
I'm going to get into trouble when it's gone past 9 o'clock. Anyway, until next week, thanks for listening and watching and taking part in the show. Please do again. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
I'm not going anywhere.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.